I want to talk to you about some different things we've ministered on in the last 3 or 4 weeks, because we got into some very heavy things and we were hitting it. And sometimes I just take for granted that people understand what I'm talking about. We're moving in this realm of light right now. That's amazing. I want to try to catch everybody up to speed, amen, to where we're at, what we're doing. The first thing I want to talk about tonight, dispensation. How many of you know what dispensation means? Let me tell you what a dispensation is. Dispensation is a time frame that God moves in a certain way and he deals with people in a certain way. Like, for instance, when he gave the law to Moses all the way up to the time of Christ, that was a dispensation. He gave them a law. It was a spiritual government that he orchestrated around the law. He operated with them with the law. That was a dispensation. That changed when the Lord went to the cross and sent the Holy Spirit. That started a brand new dispensation. We have been in that dispensation, and we're still in it right now. Amen? That dispensation is going to shift very soon, because God is going to add something very remarkable to what is happening. And I'll call this the dispensation of the crown. You can call it whatever you want to. This is the time that God is going to anoint his church in a brand new way. He's going to anoint it, marked in Scripture. He is going to pour out what's called the kingly anointing. He's going to crown his church. It's an act of heaven. It's coming out of heaven. To my knowledge, it's not going to be a very long season, not like the last 2,000 years, but it marks a new dispensation. It doesn't do away with the one we're in. It adds to it. Joel speaks of it like this. If you go to the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. So he speaks it like this, verse 23. He says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately." He actually called the former rain moderately. He called, that's the whole outpouring of the book of Acts. He called that a moderate move. "And he will cause for you to come down the rain, the former rain and," say "and," "the latter rain in the first month." Kind of interesting. We're coming up to the first month. So he gives you two of them. This last dispensation will incorporate all of the first. It doesn't do away with it all like he did away with the law. It incorporates all of dispensation, but he's going to add something very powerful to it. And it's coming out of heaven. We're going to look at this. It's released from heaven. It's prophesied the release of heaven, and because of that, it marks a new dispensation for the church, or the final dispensation for the church age. After that, then there's the 7-year tribulation. That's another dispensation. That's a dispensation of wrath. After that is the 1,000-year millennial reign. That's a whole nother dispensation. You see, God is, he marks time frames, and we call that dispensations. So when he says the latter rain, the former latter rain, he actually describes the latter rain movement in Zechariah 10. He says, "Ask the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. He'll give you rain abundantly to everyone grass of the field." And he talks about the war horse. He talks about the running of the white horse. He talks about all of that. He talks about establishing the house of Judah and Joseph and Ephraim. And we've been all over that, so I'm not going to get into that tonight. But he speaks of that being the latter rain, what we're about to get into. With that said, go to Revelation chapter 4. This dispensation is marked by a very specific event from heaven. John has to go through a very specific door to this specific event. He gets called up to witness this final dispensation, one that we have not entered into yet. All right? That is soon upon us, very soon. Now, the interesting thing about the book of Revelation is everybody gets to push it off right now. Just to push it off, because nobody actually believes the book of Revelation has started yet, because it hasn't started yet. Not anything past chapter 6 has started yet, not anything in chapter 6, but it's going to begin. And what's going to mark that beginning, John, as you know, gets called through this door. And he gets caught up into a heavenly scene, and that is a, what we call a dispensation to come. He gets caught up into the throne room of God, the same one Isaiah was caught up, but he gets caught up in the throne room of the Father in a future position. One that's right in front of us. It was way in front of him. It was 2,000 years in front of him, but it's right in front of us. He gets caught up to what we're about to walk in. Okay? He sees the throne room of God. He sees the cherubim. Isaac calls the four beasts seraphim. He sees them. He sees the whole throne of God. And he describes most of that throne. He sees something very interesting, and this is all review. Revelation 4:5, he sees something very interesting in verse 5. He goes, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That's not the first time he said the seven spirits of God or the lamps burning. In chapter 1, just go over there real quick, I'm going to review. Verse 10, chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, same trumpet that he heard in chapter 4, call him up through the door. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Go to verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who which is, which was, and which is to come. Who's that? The Father. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Who's that? Holy Spirit's also here. He's there too. He didn't leave heaven and not, he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at one time. He's an amazing, amazing. God's Spirit can be, it goes to and fro the whole earth, all of heaven. There's no place the Holy Spirit's not. Isn't that amazing? But he resides before the throne. And his name, like the Lord has many names, the Father has many names, the Holy Spirit has many names, his name as residing before the throne is the seven spirits of God. That's where he resides. Amen? And seven spirits of God, which are before his throne and from Jesus. So you have the Trinity there. So you have the seven spirits of God that are before his throne. That's where he is right now. But he's also with you. So you see the greetings there, him who was and is to come. There's a reason why he's all over Alpha and Omega, because I'm Alpha and Omega, because he's revealing to John the end. So he reveals to himself, I am the Omega. Jesus also said, I am that him that is, who was, and is to come. And the seven spirits. Now, go back to chapter 4. Out of the throne, proceeding lightnings, thunders, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Something's going to happen where the seven spirits of God are going to come out from their position before the throne. And it's going to happen in the next chapter. And when he does, it's going to mark the next dispensation. That next dispensation is going to be marked by a very specific event. One that we are looking for to happen. We are not afraid because we know there is a great move of God before the 7-year tribulation, a great harvest. The church will come up into a level of glory and power and wealth in the last days that's unprecedented in human history. Amen? We want him to open this book. We are on the threshold of him opening this book. Amen. All right? So go to chapter 5. Now, I'm going to talk to you about our role in this in a minute, but let me just tell you what's going to happen. Verse 1 in chapter 5. Chapter 4 and 5 should all have been one chapter. Shouldn't have been broken up by chapter because John gets caught up. He sees the throne. He's looking at the throne. He sees the seven spirits of God before the throne. And now he's looking at the right hand of him. It said on the throne, a book was written on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now we know those first seals are the four horses of the apocalypse. White horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. Now he sees, which is the next chapter, and they can't find a man that's going to open this book. And John is there. He's witnessing this. He's not just saying it. He's present. He's weeping. They're talking to him. He's talking to them. He has participated in it. I don't understand how that can happen, but he has already participated and lived out an event that hasn't been happened yet. Isn't that amazing? When this happens, John said, I've already been here once. Verse 3. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. And he says, I wept much. He was there. He was weeping very real tears. That's pretty amazing that a first century man could be here in the 20th century seeing all this. So verse 5, he says, one of the elders said unto me, see, they're talking to him. I mean, God gifts men with this capacity. This is one of the most amazing transferences of dispensations, the Bible, we've ever witnessed. He went through the dispensations. He was there. And one of the elders said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." This is very important because this is what's going to shift the seven spirits of God burning before the throne. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, a lamb stood as he had been slain." It was the time for the opening of this book. No man could open it. The lamb stands up for the opening of the book. He stands before the throne of the Father, a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that are to be sent forth in all the earth, because he's seeing something that is to come. He sees the seven spirits of God. They're no longer in the form of seven lamps burning. They're now in the form of seven eyes and seven horns. That is the crown. Say a crown. The seven horns. In the book of Revelation, horns means kings, kingdoms, and crowns. Seven horns means the perfection of kingly authority. The Antichrist is labeled as one horn. God, the Lord is wearing seven of them. Amen. Seven horns, which is the perfection. He stands up with a perfect crown. It's omnipresent omniscience. The seven spirits of God that can go to and fro all the earth are now resting upon him. They're upon the lamb that had been slain, and he's about to open the book, meaning that God brought the seven spirits of God that are before his throne and placed them on Christ in the crowning of Christ. He's getting ready, and he's going to send forth the seven spirits of God into all the earth. In other words, he's sending this crown into the earth. He's sending the omnipresent omniscience into the earth, and he's going to crown his church. And he's about to open the book. Amen? Now, that event, when he opens the book, the first seal that comes out, and I mean, look what happens. They're waiting for this to happen. The elders fall down on their face, and they begin with bowls and with incense, which is the prayers of the saints, which meaning there are saints in the earth that are hooked up to this. They're in sync with this heavenly event. They have the incense, and they release the incense at the time he stands there in the midst of the throne. Isn't that glorious? They fall down in intercession, and they're releasing this incense, and they got harps in their hands. They start singing a song unto the Lord, because this event, they have been waiting a long time because they have foreseen this. We're just now looking into it, and most of the church have no clue about it because it's a mystery right now. Just like when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon Jerusalem, it was really the only 120 that knew about it. And really, it was those 12 apostles, the people very, very close to the Lord knew all about it. Amen? He appeared to them, and he told them what was going to happen. He was getting them ready for it. That's what God's doing with us. God is not just going to throw something in the earth and nobody knows what's going on. Somebody is going to know what's going on. Put your hand over your heart and say, "I know." Hallelujah. Somebody understand this event. Most of the Bible scholars, the book of Revelation, they know a whole lot, but very few. I haven't heard any of them talk about this event. Because it's a mystery right now. It's about to explode in the earth with glory and power. And the Lamb takes the book. Now watch the elders here. It's amazing. And they had taken the book, the four beasts and the crown, the seven spirits of God were seven horns, seven eyes that are sent forth in all the earth. But John's looking into the future. They haven't been sent yet. Holy Spirit's here, but this is the crowning of the church. This is the final stone. This is the crowning of the temple. Amen. It's the beginning of that final move of God. And they, verse 8, "The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense," which are the prayers of the saints. Some of your prayers are in those bowls. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book." They're happy to open the seals thereof. "For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. As you made us kings and priests, we shall now reign on the earth." They're singing the song. The saints are going to reign on the earth. You're about to crown your church. Amen. This event that's going to release the seven spirits of God is going to happen in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. They got up and ready. He stands and he receives. As soon as the Lamb stands, the seven spirits of God that were before the throne rest on him now. They change the identity. Was a lampstand, the lamp converts to a crown. You see that? First, it was a lamp burning before the throne. But in the last days, in this dispensation of the crown, this event in which he's going to open this book and he's going to release the white horse, the lamp comes out and it gets converted to a crown. Now go to Revelation 6. And they're saying the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Just imagine all that. The kings and priests will reign in the earth. If you look at Revelation 12 or 13, it says the Antichrist is given power over the saints. You cannot reconcile the two. If you do not see this as a move of God that's preceding the seven-year tribulation, it says we're going to have authority in the earth. We're going to reign in the earth. And then it says 12 chapters later that Antichrist is given authority even over the saints. It's because he's talking about a move that's preceding the seven-year tribulation, the greatest move ever. Revelation 4, 5, and chapter 6, verse 2 should all have been one chapter because it's describing a dispensational shift in the church. Revelation 6, verse 1, and he saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Now he opens the seal. As soon as he opens this seal, that dispensation begins. The noise of thunder, when he opens that seal, that it doesn't change the dispensation we're in. But everything that we have since the cross goes into that dispensation. It's the early and the latter rain together. But God's going to add something remarkable when he opens this seal. And as he opened the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, come, come and see this. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. What crown? The one that was on the Lord. The seven spirits of God, the seven horns, the one that sent forth in all the earth, the rider of this last day church. That crown's going to come out of heaven. He's going to crown his church. He prophesied it in Zechariah 6. He prophesied it in Revelation 3, when he crowns the church of Philadelphia, and he's going to put his final church on that horse, and he's going to send that crown. When that lamp that came out, and it transformed into a crown, he sends that crown into the earth, and he crowns the rider. Amen? And he goes forth conquering to conquer. All of that is described in Zechariah 10. He said a bow is in his hand. He talked about the bow. In Zechariah 10, he talked about he's going to bring forth the final cornerstone. He's going to establish the nail. We got into all that. It's glorious. Amen. He calls that the latter rain. It's a dispensational move of God because it requires him to open that book and he's going to add something. What is he adding? The crown, the priesthood, and the kings, the final kings of the earth. This crown lives in a dispensation that's right in front of us. Amen. And when he opens that book, listen, God is not going to have an event like this, the crown, without announcing this to the world. God just doesn't pour out without somebody knowing it. Anytime God has ever done anything, he's announced it beforehand. He doesn't announce it to the multitude, but he always announces it to somebody. Amen. Even when the Lord was about to go to the cross, even the 120, they're waiting up in the room before the Holy Spirit was poured out. He told them it was coming. He told the 12 and he told the 70 disciples, and those in 120, they all knew something was happening. Everybody walking around Jerusalem didn't have a clue what was going to happen until it happened. But the ones on the inside knew. They knew. Why? Because it was a necessity they knew. Not only did they know, they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. They had seen him during that 50-day period. Peter saw him, I think, 7 times or 6 times during that period, and he saw him and is resurrected on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter saw him seven different times. Pretty powerful. John and them, they all saw him different places. But the disciples, I think he appeared to them four different times. He commissioned them, all kinds of things. They were waiting for this event, just like we're waiting for this event. They were in this upper room. We're in the church of the taco stand. It doesn't matter where you're at. It will be talked about for history. We see this happening. I wish more people were preaching it, but they don't see it yet. But God is going to announce this thing, but somebody already knew because they were praying into it. The elders, those weren't just arbitrary prayers. Those were prayers that were synced up, linked up. Those were prayers that somebody knew was happening. They merged that prayer and it became incense. Amen? Now, why did he give us the lampstand? 28 years ago, why did he give the lampstand? If it's a crown, why didn't he send a crown? He couldn't send a crown because let's say that that's the cross over there where Carlos is at. This is the end of our day. This is where we are 2,000 years ago. And right on the other side of this pillar over here is the dispensation of the crown. Amen? Let's say for a moment, in this pillar, this is a dispensation and a crown. Why didn't he send a crown? Well, he couldn't send a crown because the crown belongs over here. It can't actually release into the earth until the Lord releases that first seal. And he crowns the rider. So it's sitting over there in this dispensation, right? Okay? So he can't go send the crown into a dispensation it doesn't belong to. So what he does in his wisdom, instead of sending the crown, he sends the lamp instead. And he takes the lamp that belongs to this dispensation, and this lamp has a crown hidden in it, but he doesn't tell you until 28 years later. He just tells you it's a lamp. So he sends the lamp over, and he wakens you with this lamp and said, this is all you need to accomplish the wealth transference of the nations. It's all there. And I'm like, what? A lamp with two olive trees? How can that be? Because within it was going to be an ever-unfolding mystery that was actually going to light a path. All the time we're trying to be like everybody else and do like everybody else, and God just like cut down that tree. That's not really who they are. So the tree gets cut down. We were all going the wrong direction. God's like, I love all that, but I have that. I have something else for you. When that all got cut down, we thought we were devastated, but we weren't, because God was saying, you're going the wrong direction. What I have for you is down another path. And that's when all the time we were carrying the lampstand, but it wasn't manifesting its true glory yet. Amen? And so all of a sudden, he starts lighting the path of the right hand of God. The lamp became a light to our path, a light to our feet. It started lighting something that we didn't understand. In the beginning days, he started the right hand of God and teaching us this realm of the right hand of God. And everyone would call it the secret place, but we were seeing what it was. And God started teaching us how to enter in through the doorway. And he was teaching us the door and teaching us the throne of grace. And he started teaching us the different things. And it kept going and going and going and going and going. Amen. It was like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, every year we thought, this is it, this is it. But it was just taking us more, and it started lighting the whole thing up. That was the lamp was doing its job. It was had within it, though, listen to me, it had a crown inside of it. But it wasn't ready to reveal the crown yet. And then it started lighting up the Father. John 14:15, 16, and 17. See, all the time the lamp was in activation, it was changing us too. That's when he took the orphan out. And he purged the orphan out of that 11 months with the Father. And he started putting the Son in. Amen? He started transforming the orphan spirit. It was glorious. I was like, I'll stay here forever. And then it started opening the whole path. And started opening what we called the series of the golden lampstand, this Revelation 4, 5, and 6. And we started looking into the book of Revelation. Why? The lamp was shining into the future. You see that? It had to mark that area. Why? Because God was calling us to be a messenger church to what was to come. You have to see it. We were there. We were at the gate long before the gate opened. Amen. But we were seeing the future event unfold. Why? Because God is going to have us be witnesses to what is going to happen. Amen. Just like the disciples were witnessing this move of God, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the world didn't know, but look how fast they knew when it came down. Look how the first 5,000 born again, bam, 3,000, then 5,000. I mean, then Jerusalem had a revival. The whole world knew. Boom, 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 boom. Look how fast it ran. And that wasn't even in a social media age like we have. Amen? All of a sudden, God shows us all this. Why did he show us? Because he's calling us to be witnesses. Say witnesses. Now, all of this is the purpose of the lampstand. When God has an event such as Revelations 4, 5, and 6, that event is not going to happen in heaven without God witnessing or God showing that to somebody. Somebody from the earth has to witness that. Amen? The Lord prepared his disciples. They were witnesses of his resurrection. Their number one message coming out of the gate was apostolic testimony, was of the resurrection. They kept talking about the resurrection. We are eyewitnesses of the resurrection. That was where their power. A lot of people said, behold, you shall have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. They missed the second part, to be my witnesses. He wasn't talking about just witnesses. It was eyewitness. Say eyewitness. There's a difference between a witness and an eyewitness. If I witness an accident and I send Anna, go tell the judge what I saw, he'll throw that testimony out, because the highest witness ever is eyewitness. And every one of those disciples and everyone in the upper room, Peter stood and said, every one of us are eyewitnesses of his resurrection. That whole upper room, the Lord appeared before 500 people at one time, he says. Most of those were upper room people. Why? He was preparing a company of people to give witness to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Somebody had to receive it, and somebody had to give witness to it. And they were ready for it. God is going to throw something out of heaven to this magnitude, and nobody's seen it or be ready for it. That's why we're a messenger church, because we see what is to come. But it's more than just seeing. Somebody is going to see that event. Eyewitness. When he opens that book, some of you are going to be there. Now here's the key. When they said, oh, he is risen. Watch this. He's risen from the dead. He's not going to send that kind of message of the resurrection of the dead without backing it up. Behold, you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my eyewitness. So when you tell them I have been raised from the dead, my spirit will be with you to back up what you have said. With great signs and wonders gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them all. They were ready for the outpouring. They were positioned for it when it fell out of heaven. This one's a little different because he's going to open it from heaven. And when he opens the book, somebody's going to see that. He has apostles ready to see that event. It's going to be, I believe, one of the number one messages we're going to carry. Is that book has been opened. Listen, do you understand the significance of when he opens that book in heaven? All the accountability of Revelation 6 and beyond comes upon the whole world. He is going to bring the world into accountability to the opening of that book. No more can you just live the way you want to. There is a darkness coming. There is a tribulation coming. 7 years of wrath, and you, the only way to escape that is you must know the Lord now. You don't get to push him off. You don't get to live the way you want to. A great move of God's coming. And he's going to empower the apostles again with eyewitness testimony of this event that has took place. He's not just going to slip in and do this and nobody know about it. He's not like that. He's going to reveal this to the world. And you're talking about power. What Kim saw with the ambulances lined up, Michael Jones saw it. There is going to be raw resurrection power again. Why? Because it's going to back up the testimony that the book has been opened, because we're going to see this. They have to see it. They have to be witnesses of the final dispensation, but more importantly, the book. All the books have been brought into accountability. Not only is he opening the first seal, he's going to open the second, third, fourth, and on. That book is going to open after this dispensation. This horse is going to ride, running victorious, conquering the conqueror, both kingly and priestly anointing, both power and glory, all riding on the same horse. We got into all that. Wealth and glory riding on the same horse. We got into all that. It's glorious. Zechariah 10 takes the glory and he takes the wealth and he puts them all on the same rider. It's amazing. The early church didn't have that. They were laying the foundation. God's going to crown the temple. Say crown. Isn't it amazing? So that's why he sent it as a lamp. Why? To bring us to the door. Why? To watch. Why? To be ready when he opens the book. We're watching. Those who are watching, come up and see it. You're going to bear witness. You talk about power going to come. When God, you're an eyewitness, you don't have to go convince anybody of anything. The Holy Spirit will be with you as the seven spirits of God, and he will convince the world the book's been opened. That's why he's going to bring power nobody else is walking in, to bring the testimony. You see it? He can't just send a word only. There has to be raw apostolic testimony with that witness. That's one of the purposes of being at the door now, first, to watch and wait for this. Because it's going to happen. Say amen. And with that, we get a forerunner crown. Let me close this. Now, that's why he said to the messenger of the church of Philadelphia, right? He that is holy, he that is true, he that is key to the house of David. I have the key to this dispensation of the crown, and I'm going to set before you, a messenger church, an open door. Why? You have to come in to see that. You have to be a part of it. There are actually a forerunner crowns coming out of it, but we won't get into all that tonight. Amen. Lots about to transpire. Get ready, because we're moving in a dispensation that's going to transform the world we live in and put the whole world in accountability. And those who reject this glorious move of God, they're going to get a due recompense for rejecting it. But even those who reject it, there's another church that rejected and got cold. Said, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. He didn't promise them he'd spare them from the 7 years. He promised the church of Philadelphia, because you've kept my word, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the world. You're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But even then, people are going to get harvested throughout the 7 year tribulation. There's the greatest harvest in human history, but you got to give your life. Because the final 3.5 years, it's take the mark of the beast or die. You don't get a choice. People have no idea, but the technology is moving so fast towards this. It's moving so fast. By the time that last, the final 3.5 years of the 7 year tribulation, the false prophet and the beast will come together, and they are going to institute the mark of the beast, and they're going to demand the world take that mark. You either take this mark, bow down to the image, or die. That's it. There is no other choice. They are going to have the technology to trace anybody, anywhere, anytime. They're already injecting that into pets right now, tracers. That size, you can see where they go. They're going to acclimate you to the process of it, but we won't be here. But it's going to be a very real thing. And people say, well, I don't know about that. I don't get into fear. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm glory-mongering. Because I'm telling you, there's a move of God. We're not only participants, we're right in smack in the middle of it. We're at the door of this right now. Watching and waiting. Why? Because God wants somebody to know what's going on. Amen? Now you see why he sent the lamp. He sent the lamp to bring you to a door. But inevitably, that lamp is going to move into that dispensation. And in that dispensation for which it belongs, it converts and transforms into a glorious crown. Amen? We see that in Revelations 4 and 5. Zechariah 4, same lampstand. We know it's an end-time lampstand. Talks about the olive trees. Revelation 11 specifically states this chapter. We know this is an end-time lamp. Let's look at verse 1. Angel talk came, waked me. What seest thou? He sees a lamp with a bowl, seven lamps with a bowl, two olive trees. He sees this and answered, spake the angel talk with me, verse 4, saying, what is this? And the angel that talked with me, verse 5, answered and said unto me, do you not know what this is? And I said, no. And I said the same thing. But now I know what it is. Now here's the glorious mystery of all of it, which is about to unfold before this very church. He answered and says, speaking to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Zerubbabel was a king. Okay? This lamp was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. All right? Say, not by might, not by power. He says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become leveled ground. He's going to level a major mountain with this lampstand. Amen? And he shall bring forth, say he shall, now notice this conversion here. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, grace, grace unto it. The headstones, the capstone, final stone, chief cornerstone, it's the final stone laid into the temple. The headstone. The apostles laid the foundation, which was Christ. Christ the King is going to lay the final stone. Now, when you start reading the commentaries, when they start talking about this capstone, cornerstone, final stone, say if you got a New Living Translation, it'll say final stone. They call it the crowning stone. The crown. The crown. The crowning of the priesthood. Even the Sanhedrin. Remember the coin that had the king's chair and had a crown? Sanhedrin priesthood is confirmed the 70 years. Remember, the chair is the crowning of the priesthood. This final word, this lampstand, is going to actually turn into a crown. You see that? Same thing happened in Revelation 4 and 5. Here he is. He said it's going to bring forth. It started as a lamp, ended as a crown. Remember, why did he start as a lamp? The lamp had to bring you to the dispensation of the crown. Without it, you had never known it. We'd be still wandering around in the same mountain we've been wandering around. But this thing has brought us to the doorway of a dispensation in which it is specifically stated that same lamp burning before the throne is going to come out and crown the Lord Jesus, and he is going to crown his church. That lamp has a crown in it. But the only time that, and I'll close with this, the only place that that lamp can transform to a crown is in the dispensation beyond that pillar right there. It cannot become a crown here, no matter how much we want to be crowned right now, how much we're begging to be crowned right now. We cannot crown here. We must crown there. You see that? Because that's the dispensation for which it happens. God's saying, I want you to take this lamp into that dispensation. Wait a minute, I'm not there. You're asking me to Star Trek. He goes, I asked Abraham to do it. He did it. I asked David to do it. He did it. Uh-huh. What happened when the Peter, James, and John got caught up in the transfiguration of Christ? They got translated into our. And they got translated into the future. Peter started talking about the second coming of the Lord out of that encounter. He got translated. John got translated from where he was. Cannot God take some of us through the door? Amen? And in fact, it's required that the crown finish its journey there. And there's some things that are going to happen when it happens. Amen? We're at that door. We made the journey. The good thing is the day that commission started, we started a journey and we have found the very door for which this lamp belongs. All these years now we have found the purpose for why we've carried this. Isn't that glorious? Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to finish. It's going to crown. The crown's going to come out of the lampstand. But God's requiring. Now you understand when I say God's requiring dispensational faith, he's requiring us to go beyond the veil. Men in every generation have done this. He's calling us to do it. You're going to see creative miracles. They're going to stagger the mind, but it's designed to back up the testimony of what is being said and spoken for this generation. That's why God puts that kind of power in there, to back up the testimony. And God is going to send that crown. The crown's been carried. When it comes out of heaven, it's not coming out as a lamp. It's coming out as a crown. It was a lamp that brought you to it, to understand it, to be witnesses of it. Get ready for that. Get ready. You're a messenger church. We rule and reign under the anointing and glory of wisdom and the omnipresent thereof. Our identity shifts with it. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.